Welcome. You're listening to sermons and talks from Providence Church in Brisbane. We believe that God speaks to us through his word, the Bible. So we pray that as you listen, you'll be encouraged and challenged to love Jesus and live for him. For more information about Providence Church, please visit our website, www.providencechurch.com.au.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Today in the town of David, a Savior, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you that you sent Jesus to us, that we can celebrate that today, that that changed the world, that that changes everything for us, and gives us great joy and peace. And we pray that today you would show us more of that through your word, that through your spirit you would open our eyes to see how awesome that is and how good that is and just how much that means for us and for our lives. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So Christmas is supposed to be a joyful time of year, right? That's the message we get from everywhere. We all know that. And I've noticed there's two kinds of ways that people can react to that. The first way is to lean into that Christmas joy and go all out, right? With carols and presents and decorations, maybe getting dressed up as an angel, just hypothetically, something like that. And you really get into it, right? And I came across an extreme example of this recently. Oh, that was turned off. Should be working now. Here we go. This guy here, Mr. Christmas. So his name is Andy Park. He calls himself Mr. Christmas. And he claims to have celebrated Christmas every single day, every day of the year since 1993. He eats Christmas food all day. Over the course of the day, he eats a whole turkey. He has his decorations permanently set up there in his house. He sends presents and Christmas cards to himself and all of his family every single day, okay? And it's actually reported he spent over £1 million, so I guess that's like 2 or 3 million Aussie, over the course of his life celebrating Christmas. And he says he started this tradition one day because it just made him feel so full of joy that he just wanted to keep doing that every single day, so he's never stopped. That's a pretty extreme example. Right, but we've all seen people who do go all out for Christmas because they love it so much. But I think there's also an opposite reaction that some people can have where they push back because for some, it's not a time for joy, is it? I mean, Christmas is so hard, right? There's food to prep, there's presents to buy, you've got to plan everything and buy everything. You might be getting get given presents you don't like and you have to sort of be polite and like react in a way that won't offend them. Like, "Ah, yes, my favorite pair of Christmas undies I've ever received. Thank you." There's financial stress. There's stress from celebrating with friends or family when those relationships can be really hard as well. There can be loneliness, or we can be reminded of people who aren't here anymore to celebrate with us. And there's a bunch of studies backing this too, with just one I found from this charity, Relationships Australia, and it said that Christmas is actually considered one of life's 6 most stressful events. And it's the most likely time of the year for many people to experience anxiety or depression as well. Another study I found from the Red Cross found that 1 in 3 people experience severe loneliness at Christmas. So if you look to your left and your right, one in three is statistically likely to feel isolated and lonely at Christmas. And even for Mr. Christmas, who we met earlier, it's actually quite sad because his Christmas obsession led him to wiping out all his savings. He had lots of health issues and became really unwell from overeating the turkeys every day. And it led to his daughter pleading with him, please stop celebrating every day. He actually did. He did stop in 2015. So even if you love Christmas so much, you don't want it to end. We can't celebrate it every day, can we? And it all ends so quickly, doesn't it? But whatever your feelings are on Christmas today, isn't it true that we all want joy? We all want a deep, lasting joy that doesn't melt away after Christmas ends. We all want a real joy that doesn't drown us in stress and preparation and expectations. So today I want to ask, where can we find that? And I hope we'll find the answer in that passage that we read today, in the first Christmas, the birth of Jesus. And I hope we'll see the joy of Christmas. We're going to look at the joy of Christmas today through just 2 points. First, in knowing God's greatness, and second, in receiving his gift. So we're going to look at the joy of Christmas and knowing God's greatness, and then in receiving his gift. And then at the end, we'll wrap up with what that all means for us. So we'll start by looking at the joy of knowing God's greatness. And that's the first point. And the first part of that is seeing that God is holy. God is holy. Our passage today is found at the start of the New Testament in the Bible. And the Bible is divided into these two parts. There's the Old Testament and the New Testament. And if you had to summarize one of the takeaways from the Old Testament, that would be that God is holy. We learn that God's perfectly holy in every way, in morals, in power, in justice, in beauty, in mercy, and endless words you could keep adding to get to that God is holy. Holy to the point that people can't even be in his presence. People fall down when they hear him speak. God warns people not to even look at him or they'll die. You know, the other day when I was driving, I looked right in the sun as I was turning a corner. And we've all done that, right? It's bad. It's straight away, it's so bright and piercing. You have to look away because it's so powerful. And we can barely comprehend and understand the power of the sun, right? But that's nothing compared to God. For God who created the whole universe, the sun is just a speck among billions and billions of other stars. So do you see that when we read in verses 8 to 9 of our passage, and I've got it on the screen there, as an angel appears to these shepherds and the glory of the Lord shines around them, they are terrified. And we would be too. Can you imagine by being surrounded by someone infinitely more greater than the sun? They can't help it in the presence of the holy God. So that's the first point in getting to know God's greatness. But to start to see the joy in his greatness, the second thing we need to get is that with the birth of Jesus, God makes himself approachable. God becomes approachable. From verse 10, it says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" And there's this bridge here between the Old Testament difficulty of drawing near to a holy, perfect God to the Old Testament, to the New Testament, openness of Jesus, the Son of God, who walks with the people, who draws near to the sick and broken and outcast. That happens through God entering the world through his Son Jesus as a baby here. Elsewhere in the Bible, we're told Jesus is the exact representation of what God is like. When we look at Jesus, we see what God is like. And he chose to come not as a ruler or as someone with power or authority like a king, but as a baby. Do you know there's nothing more approachable than a baby? I'm a dad with 2 kids and I've experienced this myself. Do you know that when you go out with a baby in public, people will just come up to you and start talking to the baby? And it's like, you know that they can't understand you, right? Like, why are you coming up? There's no other situation where in public where it's socially totally okay and not weird to go up to someone random and start talking to them, right? But because it's a baby, it's okay. Why is that? Well, babies are so approachable, aren't they? Babies are so approachable. You just want to go up and have a chat and say hi. So can we consider how mind-blowing it is for God to come to us as a baby? The Holy God chose to enter our world and come down to us, not as like a king or just like coming as like a fully grown human. He came as a baby. Do you see what that says about him? That he's open to us. He wants us to know him. God is made approachable in Jesus. And we can take this a step further when we see who God comes to in our passage. And Megan talked a little bit about earlier, but it's the shepherds in the fields, isn't it? They aren't the rulers of the world. These were pretty lowly workers with hard lives. They lived outside all the time with their flocks, so they were pretty rough and isolated from other people and communities for long periods of time. And you read about shepherds in Jewish culture from this time, and they actually had quite a mixed reputation. They actually had a reputation for robbing people who were on journeys because they were kind of just camped outside. And at times their reputation was so bad, their testimony wasn't allowed in Jewish courts even. But here we see them, those who are looked down on by the world around them. They have their eyes lifted up as they see the glory of God here. So what is God doing, coming to them first? Well, he's identifying with the rejects. He's identifying with the lowly. Now, I wonder, does that resonate with you? Do you feel sometimes not good enough or unworthy? I've heard people say they could never step foot in a church because they know they're just not good enough. That church wasn't made for people like them. But do you see, this is just so wrong. This is just not true. Yes, God is holy, but in Jesus, he makes himself accessible. No matter who we are, no matter our background, Jesus came for you. And doesn't that bring us joy in knowing that the God of the universe is like that? That he doesn't stay distant to us, but he comes down through his son, Jesus. He doesn't come for the great or the worthy or the powerful, but he comes for all of us. And doesn't it bring us joy that our God, the God of the universe, is like that? So when we see that at Christmas, that's the first reason for joy that we have, when we see God's greatness. Now, the second reason for joy I want to get to is the joy of receiving his gift. So what is this gift? Well, we get a clue in verse 11 there, which says Jesus, the Savior, has been born. Jesus, the Savior, has been born. Do you see in that word Savior, what that's getting at is that there's something that we're missing. There's something we need saving from. Well, let's unpack that. For Jews living at this time, Jesus' time, they were waiting for a Messiah, a king, or a chosen one to save them. So there'd been prophecies about this all through the Old Testament. We read about this in the Bible, that the Messiah or the Savior would be born in the town of Bethlehem. He'd be an ancestor of the famous King David, and he'd rule on the throne forever. And one of the things that the Messiah would do is bring peace. He would save the people from their enemies. And in Jesus' time, the Jews were ruled over by the Romans and the Greeks before them. So the Jews thought this Messiah would be saving them through winning battles and leading armies to victory, right? That's who they thought the Savior would be. And it's interesting because the Romans had a similar idea too. So the Romans ruled at the time, and their top authority, Caesar Augustus, he was actually given titles by the people, like Savior, bringer of peace, bringer of good news, because he brought about a long period of peace through his rule. So this idea of a Savior bringing peace made sense to everyone at the time. And we kind of read about that from verse 13 too, when the angels appear. And it says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Can you imagine being the shepherds there sitting under the stars and you were blown away by just one angel to have the sky lit up with a whole company of angels, a whole army of angels, not declaring war, but declaring peace. But why does this matter for us? I mean, the people back then, they got this idea of a savior. They understood that. But for us, I don't think we as easily connect to that word or that idea of a savior. And I've heard people say, I just don't see why I need a savior, why I need saving. I feel like I've got everything under control. We're not at war. Why do I need a savior? But my question is, do we truly have peace? I mean, just think about it, Christmas. It's supposed to be the best time of the year, but instead there's often stress and conflict and disappointment. Or we can look around the world. When you look around the world, we know there's something wrong. We know there's something broken. We see wars, we see disease, we see poverty, tragedies like Bondi happening all the time. Do you see that we need a savior to fix our broken world? But the Bible tells us all of these issues, they actually come from something deeper, in that we don't have peace with God. We get this picture in the Bible at the beginning of time, and there was true peace. There was peace between us and the world, peace between people living in perfect harmony with one another. And most importantly, this was all coming out of a place of people having peace with God. But what happened is people chose to go their own way against God, and that brought sin into the world. People trusted in themselves over God. That's that idea of sin that broke and fractured the relationship between us and God. And it turned our world from one of harmony and peace to one of pain, to one of heartbreak, and ultimately to one of death. But the real issue, the root cause, the Bible tells us, is that we became enemies of God. That's what the Bible says we are without Jesus. And if the shepherds were terrified at the glory of God, how can we begin to imagine what that would feel like to be an enemy of God? So do you see we need a savior? But the good news is that Jesus promised he would send one who would crush sin and fix what has been broken. He'll bring peace on earth. And do you see that peace has come by the birth of Jesus, who would one day go to the cross, carrying the sin of the world, my sin and your sin too, so that we could be reconciled to God. And 3 days later, we read he rose from the grave, defeating sin and death once and for all. And Jesus says that all who trust in him have that same hope of eternal life. That's why the angels are praising God, because they know this is the Savior who's finally come. This is Jesus. So this Christmas, please know, God loves you. He sent Jesus to save you. You are invited to put your trust in him. It means turning from living for yourself, turning from trusting in yourself to instead trusting in him and living for Jesus. At Christmas, we're invited to get the joy of receiving his gift, the joy of forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life. That's the invitation for all of us here, and that is the joy of Christmas. So what does this all mean for us? I want to make one very simple point, that Christmas should be a time for joy, okay? We should feel joyful at Christmas. At Christmas, we get gifts, right? But do we see we've been given the best gift ever, the best gift of all? Peace with God, forgiveness of sin, and a life after death. Let's celebrate that. Let's praise God for that and feel that joy. Now, for some of us, that might be easy because Christmas is already a good time of the year. Maybe there's gatherings and food and celebrations that we love, with people that we love, so it's easy to have joy. But if that's you, don't get swept away by all that. Let me encourage you to remember the true meaning of Christmas and let that inform the way that you actually celebrate. Maybe if you're with loved ones who don't yet trust in Christ around Christmas, what a better time than Christmas to talk about the faith and the joy you have because of Jesus. Just like the shepherds who were so overjoyed in our passage that as soon as the angels left, they ran away and told everyone. Why don't you do that too to someone who needs to hear it in your life? Or maybe as a way to share Christmas joy, you can include others in your plans. Just like God came to the shepherds who were on the fringes of their world, I wonder if there's people on the fringes of your world who you can invite in to celebrate with, for your meals, for your plans, to share life with. I've been so encouraged in seeing people here at church who do that, people opening their homes for others who don't have plans and reflecting the generous love of our God who sent Jesus for us. So let me ask you, if Christmas is already a joyful time for you, are there ways that you can share your joy with others and the true message of Christmas? But what about if you're here and Christmas isn't joyful for you? I want to be real that this is real for me. I've felt the grief of losing my mum in previous years leading up to Christmas. And previously, Christmas was always like a really joyful time and a really good time with family. But now I feel pretty mixed feelings leading up to it, and it can be quite hard. Maybe you relate to that too. Or maybe you're here and people and growing up, people in your life never really cared about Christmas. Or all the supposed joy of Christmas was just a reminder of the brokenness in your family or relationships. And as you look around at other people having a good time at Christmas, you start to resent it. Maybe it's a time of loneliness. Maybe you feel indifferent to it all. But if you relate to any of those here, let's just remember what Christmas is really about. Even the best Christmas meal is nothing compared to the complete satisfaction we have from knowing our God loves us and trusting in him. Even the most happy Christmas celebration can't compare to the joy we have with our loving God. Even Mr. Christmas, who celebrates Christmas every single day, right? That's just a blink of an eye next to the eternal celebration forever we'll have with God that we have to look forward to. So if Christmas is a hard time for you, maybe you could meditate on those truths. Maybe you could be reminded of what really matters and what it really means, that it's not the food or festivities, but it's what we have in Jesus. Make Christmas time a time to focus on your faith, to pray, to read the Bible, to sing songs to God, and be reminded of his great love for you and how that's such a reason for great joy, regardless of your circumstances. Now, I mentioned earlier Mr. Christmas. He stopped celebrating Christmas every day because of the impact it was having on his health and his money. But the next part of that story is only 2 weeks later, he couldn't help himself. He started celebrating Christmas again every day. He said he just couldn't help it. He loves Christmas so much. So now, apparently, he's been celebrating Christmas every day for the last 30 years, aside from that short little break there. Now, this sounds extreme, right? But maybe we can learn something from him. Maybe we can be a bit more like Mr. Christmas, not with the presents or the food, but in seeing that the real meaning of Christmas gives us a reason for great joy and celebration every single day. Because the truths we've talked about today, they aren't only for Christmas, are they? They're for all year round, and even more into eternity. Well, our passage ends with the shepherds joyfully praising and glorifying God. And I'm going to pray now, and then we're going to do that in a sec. We're going to end our service, sing praises to God with joy. So let's pray now before we do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great joy of Christmas. Please help us to see that. Please help us to see more of that, and how that is such good news of great joy. I pray for those of us here who aren't trusting in Jesus that you would lead us to you, that you would show us how good and how worthy you are of our whole lives. for those of us here who are trusting in Jesus, that we would just find such deep joy in him, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what's happening. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.